Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so let's go to the screen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Rejoice, O Gentiles. Rejoice, O Gentiles. And so we're going to pick it up from verse 6. And let's go there right now. And it reads, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, here we go, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. Verse 12 and 13. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. You've been following House of David, the root of Jesse. And he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. And him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may God of all hope, look at this, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a lot to chew on tonight. Amen. So let's go back to verse 6. That you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, saints, this prayer is strikingly similar to the one Jesus prayed with his disciples at the end of his final meal with them. But what I found in John is striking here. Let's go to John 17. Look at this. John 17, 23 through 26. It says, I in them, and you in me, that they may be what? Made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, we all know that Jesus first came to who? To the Jews. But then the door opened for us. Amen?
Amen.
When they closed the door on him, hallelujah, the Gentile door was open for us. This is why we need to rejoice. How many believe that you need to rejoice tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you. Because at one time, when you read in the scriptures, the Gentiles were considered dogs. We were dogs. You know, we were all little chikaroos running around. But thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. He had you in mind and me in mind. Praise God. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. How many believe that Jesus was sent by his Father?
Yes.
Come on, can you confirm that? You know how we can confirm it? By faith and by the Holy Spirit that now lives within us. Look at this in verse 26. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love in which you love me may be in them, and I in them. One of the things that you and I, saints of God, should always remember, that Jesus will always speak of our name before his Father. Amen. By faith. Amen. You know, when you first gave your heart to the Lord, the Bible says your name was shouted throughout heaven. The Bible says when one sinner repents, the whole heavens rejoice. Praise God. Man, just imagine when your name, just in your mind, say your name, and just imagine when it was mentioned in heaven, all of heaven was rejoicing. Praise God. Praise God. And so, harmony is not an optional behavior for believers. They must have the attitude of Christ Jesus toward one another. How many of you believe that? That we have to have an attitude of Christ like-mindedness toward one another. Why? Because Paul pleaded that wherever he went. He went to Corinth. He went to Ephesus. He went to Thessalonica. He went to Rome. And wherever he went, he would want us to have the same heart and mind that the Holy Spirit has transformed them, no differently than how the Holy Spirit has transformed us today. Look what he wrote here. Let's go back here to the word up here on the screen. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak in the same thing. Did you catch that? And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, today, unfortunately, there's how many denominations? How many churches are there? How many bishops and deacons and elders? I remember Conrad Simon, a wonderful evangelist, came to North Park where we were. And I remember one of his sermons, he said it like this. He said, you know, God can heal you anywhere. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
He can heal you in your home. He can heal you in the hospital. He can heal you in the church. He can heal you in your bedroom. It don't matter where he'll heal you. But some people may be healed somewhere else and walk into a church, and that church will question, well, who was your presiding bishop? And where did you get healed at? You know, when he brought that out, man, it brought revelation to me that the church belongs to Jesus.
Yes.
It don't belong to man. Can I get amen?
Amen?
If God chooses to heal someone over there, then praise God with them.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen? Amen.
We should never put a banner, only God heals here.
Come on.
Or what church did you get healed at? Are they walking in the Holy Ghost? Wow. But you know what? People do that. People do that. And so doing so would allow all believers to join them together with one voice. If you come together as one, giving praise and glory to God. And then look what he wrote in Ephesus to the Ephesian church in 4:3-6. Endeavoring to keep the what? The unity of the Spirit. Notice the Holy Spirit, capital S, in the bond of peace. How can you go around and say, I'm Holy Ghost filled, and hate your brother?
Yeah.
And hate your sister? Yeah. Or have an ought with someone? Oh, I won't speak to that one. Mm-hmm. I got an ought with that one. Mm-hmm. And then you're supposedly Spirit filled.
Yeah.
Look what it says. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. If that's what the Word of God says, why are we bickering with one another? Why do we have a knot with one another? And so, saints of God, this should be the ultimate purpose of each believer out of the entire church, is the bond of peace. We are to build bridges, not tear them down. Can I get amen? Harmony is not an optional behavior, as I mentioned. We must have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ with one voice. As he has loved us, we need to love him and love each other. Can I get amen? This should be the ultimate purpose of each believer and of the entire church. They should know you by your love for one another and the love you have for God. So let's move on to verse 7 of Romans chapter 15. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I think I mentioned last week, when someone comes to visit your church or get saved, what was the thing I said? We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. We need to welcome them and say, you know what? I'm glad. We've been waiting for you. I'm glad you're here now. Man, that would bring tears to their eyes. You know why? Because they're going to realize down the road that we've been praying for them. That they would come into the saving knowledge. Because what God delivered us from, some things we don't even want to mention over the pulpit. Can I get an amen? Amen. The hideous things we were entrapped in, involved in. It didn't bring God glory. We were people of shame at one time. Man. But God in his love toward us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Praise God. And so, we should always accept one another as Christ has accepted us. Can I get amen? There is not to be a one-sided walk with us. One-sided meaning, oh, I love you, but I got reservations about you. Really? Is that how God treats us? Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church right here. Look at this. Therefore, as the elect of God, say that with me, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. That means be patient with one another. Can I get amen? There's some people, man, they'll set you off in a heartbeat. Look at this. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Wow. Before I go to verse 14, because I have it right here, let's just take a pause real quick. And go in your heart of hearts right now. And the people in your life that you once just thought were so ugly to you. Let's forgive them right now. Father, help us forgive these people, God. We know no one's perfect. We're not perfect. But you're asking us, God, to forgive, to let go. So God, would you help us in that area? Would you help us, God? Would you help us be more like you, Jesus? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at verse 14 up here. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. This is how we become perfected. Not perfect, but perfected. It's through the bond of love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also you were called in one body, and be what? Be miserable. Oh, wait a minute. I wrote that down wrong. Be thankful. Be thankful. Amen? And I believe that we're a thankful people here. All I've seen, the people here in our ministry, praise God, I boast in Christ for you all. Can I get amen? Because I see how you serve. I see how you worship. I see how you give. I see all the things that you guys do because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. That would make any pastor, any elder, any deacon just cry and say, God, thank you for them. Thank you for them. Hallelujah, because they are well accepted in the beloved. All are to accept one another and live in harmony, as I've been sharing. At one time, saints, we were all weak. Can I get amen?
Yes.
And many strong believers are still weak in some areas. Oh, yes, there are. Listen, I've been walking for about 36 years. And let me just say this. There's still areas that I'm still weak in. And I'm always asking, God, help me be an overcomer. Help me in those areas where I'm weak. And you know what? For you, those areas, you may be real strong. But there may be areas in your life that I've overcome, and I'm pretty strong in those areas.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can't put that yoke on one another.
Yes.
We got to bear with one another. We got to say, oh God, help me, have mercy. Help me bring that one along. And not condemn them, but pray for them that they can make it. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Look what Paul wrote to the Philippian church right up here. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what?
Like-minded,
having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You see, one of the things that Paul did throughout his whole walk when he got saved, you got to remember, he was the great divider. He was Saul of Tarsus. He hated anything that was not like Judaism. Everything else was a fake to him, a phony. It was illegitimate until he got saved. And once he got saved, God flipped his heart and said, you know what? I want you to love now the ones that you hated. And so wherever he went, he was preaching the bond of perfection through love. Praise God. Look at verse 3 up here. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You see that? I want to lift you up and lift you up and lift you up more than myself. That's what that means. But let in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This, you know what? This was a direct download from the Holy Spirit to Paul. And then he wrote it down for us, so that we would have it today. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you love when God downloads things in you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. He gives you revelation after revelation. Christ is our model of what acceptance means. When we realize, saints of God, that Christ accepted us as unlovingly and sinful and immature as we once were, and how we came to him, then we will know how to accept our brothers and sisters. Why? Because we came to him, like Brother G would say, we was all toe up from the flow up. But he still, what? Saved us. Didn't he save you? He saved us. That's right. And I see the future preacher walk in right now. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, God. And so we must always have one another in mind. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And you, he made alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, God made you come alive.
God made you come alive.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Right, Brother Elliot? Yes. Little Brother Elliot right there. Hey. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Look at this. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. How many can remember that course? Huh? How many can still remember what you used to do? Man, things we wouldn't even mention to nobody. Things that we know we've done and said and seen. The actions that we did were sometimes hideous. We walked the course of this world. Look at this. According to the prince and the power of the air. Who is the prince and power of the air? That's right. Old Slewfoot. The spirit who knew. Look at this. Who knew works. Who now works in the sons of disobedience. Wow. That was our, what, M.O. back then, huh? Look at verse 3 right up here. Among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But say this with me, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. How many believe that he loved us?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at this, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, like I mentioned last Sunday, he what? Overlooked our past sins and still came and saved us. Woo! Man, hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he came and saved us despite of ourselves? Because he knew we couldn't save ourselves. Look at this. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Look where you're sitting right now. We're sitting in heavenly places.
Amen.
We're not sitting in Verona.
Come on.
Come on. We're not sitting at a card table pulling a one-arm bandit. Come on. Sipping on the sips. You know what I'm talking about.
Sipping on my neck.
Yeah. Sipping on that. I'm glad you called it yak. See, saints of God, the world sits up and takes notice when believers' widely differing backgrounds practice Christ-like acceptance. Look, in our church, we're multicultural. We have whites in our church. We have Filipinos. We have Mexicans, Samoans, Puerto Ricans. Come on. You know why? Because we're all Gentiles. There's only two people that God mentions in the Word of God. Jews and Gentiles. And we're in the Gentile family. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So in this, God will be glorified when we come together as one. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Ooh, man. God is so good. I hope you know God is so good. And so let's go now to verse 8 in chapter 15 of Romans. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And so, having referred to harmony again, Paul feels compelled to remind his readers that the greatest example of harmony brings both Jews and Gentiles under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. And then he came to us to prove to us who were once considered dogs in the Old Testament that he still had a love for the Gentile people. Thank you, God. Look what he wrote right here in the to Ephesus in Ephesians 2:11. Look at this. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called what? Uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. How many remember that? When you were with Christ was nowhere near your heart. Being aliens, look at this. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Man, how many nights I could just remember, just 40 years ago, partying all night, starting on Friday, and never going to sleep until Monday, and then trying to go to work that whole week. I'm telling you, it was a horrible existence back then. And we thought we were just, we could do that in our 20s and 30s. But the ones that still live that lifestyle, getting into their 50s, guess what? They're not living with us no more. A lot of them are dead now. I have a whole lot of friends that have already died because they never gave up. They never gave up that liquor. They never gave up drugs. They never gave up that lifestyle. I forgot who I was pointing to the other day. I showed them my men's flag football league. All of us went to the same high school. And there was seven of them, I believe seven of them, that are dead already. Dead. Look at this, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood. Hallelujah. By the blood of Christ. Thank you, God. How many are so thankful that we were brought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And at the same time, Christ came to you and I, us Gentiles, that we might give him glory and honor and praise, that he has given us mercies beyond comprehension. Look what I found in Acts 13 right up here. Acts 13, 32. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up what Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have what? Begotten you. Look at this in verse 34. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Man, I need you to put your name right there, because he has given us the mercies of David. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! God had you and I in mind. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. This is why to be a Christian right now today, there should be great joy, great anticipation of what's about to take place. God's about ready to usher us in the golden age. The real golden age. I know President Trump says this is a golden age of America. No, the golden age is about to come, and it's called the millennial reign. Woo, in the new body. How many can't wait for that new body?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Amen. And if he comes soon, our little brother is going to be about 30 years old, that fast. And we're all going to be about the same age. Amen. Hallelujah. Bodies that will live forever. You know why people believe that it's around that age? Because that's the age that Christ was crucified for us. We never saw him old, huh?
No.
And so he was taken up at 33 and a half years of age. So that's the age, I believe, that when we get that new body, it's going to be around that age. Amen. Enjoy his infancy right now. Because if he comes tomorrow, tonight, or this Feast of Trumpets, he's going to be around 30. Amen. Praise God. Woo! And he's going to know who you are. And you're going to know him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Man, how many can't wait for that day to come? Man, I can't wait for that day to come. The promises, the covenants were made to the patriarchs, first to the Jewish nation alone. But God in his mercy made them available to us Gentiles as well. Now everything that's given and promised to Abraham has now been given to us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, you know what I love about that? Is there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. That's right. There's no hierarchy there. We're all equal at the cross. We're all equal at the cross. God's offer of salvation to the Gentiles would cause them to glorify Him for His mercy. Man, when I got saved, that's all I was yelling out. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you you didn't leave me out there. Thank you you didn't allow me to die in my sin. He could have left us out there. Huh? But He saved us. So without God's mercy, the Gentiles could never receive His blessings and His salvation. Let's move on now to verse 9 of Romans 15. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Look at this. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing your name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You got to remember, Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, he hated every other religion that rose up. Matter of fact, when the way, the born-again church rose up and was rising in numbers, he thought that in his dogmatic mind of being a Jew, that he was going to go after and exterminate them all. He was the original drive-by. He was the original house invader. He would invade your home and drag you out, feed you to the lions, to the gladiators of the day. Oh, but hallelujah, thank you, God. God saved him. And then He put a heart of mercy in His heart for us, for everyone. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed?
Yes, I am.
He became one of the greatest apostles who ever lived. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving him. Thank you, God, for giving him a heart like you, Jesus. Thank you, God. See, the Old Testament pictured Gentiles as receiving blessings from God. First Paul quotes from here. Look at this. From Psalm 18:49. Look at this. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. So he was quoting that already. Look what it says here in 2 Samuel. You guys been reading the story of Samuel since you've been watching House of David? Man, I'm glued to that book. Look at this. 2 Samuel 22. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Hallelujah. Did you know that we are now descendants? Hallelujah. Did you know that? Because we're grafted in by faith. And hallelujah. Jesus saved you and I by the blood. Hallelujah. And when he comes back to rule and reign, he's going to sit in the seat of David. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Remember when Samuel in the house of David went to the house of Jesse? Hallelujah. Look what it says in Isaiah 10. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Woo! Right there. Who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentile shall seek him. And his resting place shall be glorious. Hallelujah. God put it in you and I and for such a time as this to seek him. To praise him. He quickened us. Hallelujah. He gave us a mind to be saved. A heart to repent. Hallelujah. That we would seek him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And praise God, we found him. Amen. How many can say we found him? Come on. Give God a shout in the house. Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Man, a root of Jesse sprung up. And that was David. Man, I can't wait for season 2 now. Woo! I want more of that story to come alive. You know what I mean? I mean, the scriptures are enough. It's more than enough. But I like to see it on the screen, how it develops. Amen? Man, because they didn't miss nothing there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. They better not. That's right. It's not like Noah. Was it Noah? God. Oh, Hollywood had to put their hand in it. Jesus, help us. And so let's move on to verse 10 of Romans 15. And it says, and again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Rejoice. And so the quote comes from Deuteronomy 32:43. Let's look at that right now. Look at this. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. You see, Paul was quoting the Old Testament. Aren't you so blessed? He knew the word. And then when God filled him with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, he quoted the scriptures, not just for the Jews, but for us as Gentiles. Look at this. Rejoice, O Gentiles, his people. Didn't that say that in Romans 10 we just read? Let's go back to Romans 10. Look at that, 15 and 10. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. So he was quoting this, Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. See, God is not done yet. God's not done yet. Hallelujah. And when he comes, he's going to take us out of the way and allow the 7-year tribulation to take place. Guess where we will be during those 7 years? Celebrating the what? Come on. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! And then we're going to get to see the coronation of the king. We're going to see the Father give him his crown. And then when we come back, on his robe is going to say, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And we're going to come back with him on white horses. Hallelujah. And out of his mouth, he's going to speak the word and defeat all of his enemies with one word. Hallelujah. And we get a front row seat. Woo! Thank you, God. None of us will have to pick up any kind of sword or gun or spear. No. Jesus is going to do it all by himself. Yes. And then the 1,000-year reign will begin. And we will rule and reign with him in that brand new body. How many can't wait for that? I believe that's the next greatest event, is the rapture of the church. I'm praying, God, will it be this? Will it be this year? Will it be this Feast of Trumpets? Woo! Every year we go and celebrate the feast. To God, is this going to be the 2-day feast? You going to take us home? Always be ready. Can I get an amen? Be looking. Be looking for him. Don't let this world tie you down. Hallelujah. Don't let the affairs and the cares of this world tie you down. Because what he has in store for us is going to mind blow us. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a brand new body. How many can't wait for that brand new body? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He'll give you brand new knees. He'll give me my feet back. Hallelujah. That's not engulfed with pain from neuropathy. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Brand new bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And he promises us, hallelujah, everlasting life. And won't have no sin in it. Just imagine, just one thought of sin. We could be perfect all day and we have that one, boom. There it is. That's all it takes, is one thought. One thought. That'll be eliminated, eradicated, removed from us. Woo, just imagine having a mind like that with no sin. It's hard to think about that. It's hard to comprehend that. But it's going to happen. Because he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Woo, thank you, Jesus. And you know what? A lot of people think, oh, well, when he hung on the cross, he became a sinner. No, our sins were placed upon him. He didn't become a sinner. He went in the tomb sinless. Our sins were placed upon him. as a sin offering. Woo! Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus had no sin. Never was a sinner. Can I get an amen? He was holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo! Man, I'm about ready to jump out of this skin right now. Thank you, God. Man, when you talk about what God has done, it should bring great joy and excitement. Hallelujah, what he's done. Thank you, God. It's hard to just maintain yourself. Hallelujah. When we've been privileged to cry aloud to this dying generation, that we should tell them, hallelujah, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Hallelujah. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And so, saints, it reminds the people, hallelujah, that even through all our mistakes, it warns them to avoid a repetition of mistakes. You know why? Because God allows us to remember those things because he's sooner going to remove them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, he's soon going to remove them. So don't let your mind beat you up. Don't walk around with a condemned heart. Hallelujah. Because that's only temporary. Don't let what you're going through be a mountain out of a molehill.
Come on.
Can I get an amen? Because
yes.
That too shall pass.
Right.
That too shall pass.
Yes.
Don't get engulfed in that. Say, God, I give it to you, God. I'm looking for that day. Say that with me. I'm looking for that day. Woo, I'm looking for that day when he will change us and we will be like him. Woo, we will be like him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Let's go to verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. You see, Paul, man, he was just trying to get the Gentiles' attention, because those who were giving their hearts to Christ, they didn't know how to worship God. They didn't know how to praise him. But the Holy Ghost that they received and the Holy Ghost that was in him couldn't contain them anymore. Hallelujah. Man, just imagine the worship concerts that they had. It was just through voice. They didn't have all the modern instruments we had. Man, just imagine the anointing would come when they would just praise him.
Yes.
And glorify him. And magnify him. Whoo, thank you, God. Look what King David wrote in 117 of Psalm. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. You see that? He got that from David. Let's go back. Let's go back right here in Romans 15:11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him. You see that word, laud him?
Uh-huh.
Well, he got that from the Psalms. Look. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. And how long is forever?
Forever.
Forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. There's no end to it. Amen?
Amen.
Just imagine for eternity, we're going to laud him. We're going to praise him. We're going to worship him. Wow. And we will never get tired. Thank you, God. Because we're going to have a pure mind, a pure heart. Man, there's not going to be no covetousness. There's not going to be, I can worship louder than you. There's going to be none of that. Can I get an amen? We're all going to have one voice, one mind. We're going to be like-minded. Yes. We're going to praise him like him. Praise God. Praise God. So it must have been startling at times, saints of God, for the Jews to be reminded from their own scriptures that God who had chosen them was not theirs alone. Just imagine the Jews are watching the Gentiles cry out to Jehovah, to Yahweh, whatever name you want to find in the Old Testament. The Gentiles were worshiping him. Hallelujah. And the Jews were probably going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was an oh my gosh moment. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Look what Isaiah wrote in 42:10. Sing to the Lord a new song. You ever heard that song before? You find it in Pentecostal church. Sing to the Lord a new song. Okay, you probably never heard it. And his prayer, yeah, you've heard, huh? Sing unto the Lord a new song. And they could just take it from there and just go, woo! Man, just worship God on that song. And it's praise from the ends of the earth. Look at this. You go down to the sea and all that is in it. You coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 11. Let the wilderness and all the cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let the shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to God and declare his praise in the coastlands. Hallelujah. Make that personal. Let San Diego praise him. Hallelujah. Let Chula Vista praise him. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let North Park praise him. Woo! Thank you, God. Let South San Diego, let National City, hallelujah, praise him. Hallelujah. Since God's unlimited love has been extended to all people, saints, Jewish Christians should accept the Gentile Christians as the full-fledged participant in God's kingdom. But like I mentioned earlier, there's still divisions. There's still divisions. I find that a lot with the Messianic Jews. You know what Messianic means? These are Jews that accepted Christ. But this is how they divide you. And be careful. Well, you don't worship on Saturday like us. You must not be saved. Oh, they'll throw that on you. They'll throw all that. You know how you could combat that? Were you the one that gave me the Holy Ghost or did Jesus? Was it your organization that gave me the Holy Ghost or was it Jesus? How come when I got the Holy Ghost, a custodian, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. I didn't get it from your church. I didn't get it from your presiding bishop. Woo! See, that's how you could put them in check. Because they're all going to want to say, oh, you know, well, you're not. And then you're going to run into the Yahweh people. They rewrote the Bible. And all the, yeah, in throughout the word, they replaced God, they replaced Jehovah, they replaced Jesus to Yahweh only. And if you don't worship on Saturday, you ain't saved. Really? Oh, yeah. I call them the saboteurs. Because they want to sabotage you. The saboteurs. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Help us, God. And so look what I found in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's what saved you. It was the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I don't care if you got saved in your closet, in your bedroom, hallelujah, in a hospital bed, outside in Tijuana somewhere, it don't matter. God is omnipresent. He fills all space. Hallelujah. You could be in the highest mountain in the Himalayas, he'll save you. You could be in the deepest ocean in the Philippines in a submarine that could go that deep, he will save you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But religious folks will have something to rebuttal you with. And remember, that's all they are, is religious folks. Their religion got in the way of true salvation, what it means to be saved by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And him alone. Aren't you so blessed he saved you? And you didn't come out of a church, well, I saw it over there. Yeah. 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 I didn't get saved over there. I said, really? I got saved in a parking lot. I don't know where you got saved. That's right. I got an amen. Look at verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. How many are so blessed? See, Paul understood that. That's what he wrote to the Roman church. A root of Jesse. Hallelujah. And it came from David and now Jesus. Woo! And Jesus is going to rule and reign from the seed of David in Jerusalem. Amen? Thank you, God. We quoted this. I'll quote it again. Look at this. In Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Woo! Will be glorious. Look what Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Christ, say that with me, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. See, he became a curse for us. Look at this. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How?
Through faith.
Through your religion?
No.
Through your building? Through your elders? No. By faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Woo! That's how simple God has made it, but yet religious folks makes it difficult. They make it difficult. The heir to David's throne refers to Christ, and we know that. He will rule over the Gentiles who will place their hopes on him. You see, Isaiah mentioned this too. Look at this in Isaiah 49:6. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to who? The Gentiles. That they should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Let me just say this right now, saints. The window is closing now. Hallelujah. We don't know when that last Gentile is going to get saved. But there's going to be a day where God says, come up hither. Well, we're going to all go up to be with him. And then the 7-year tribulation will kick in. We won't be here for that. You know why we won't be here? You know how you could take that to the bank? Because the Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. The wrath of God's going to be poured out during the tribulation. And you don't want to be there, do you? I know I don't. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ruthless. There's going to be so much bloodshed. There's going to be so much dying. Millions and millions are going to die during the tribulation. Wow. How many of you got shooken up by that earthquake a couple days ago?
I didn't feel it.
Oh, we felt it real tough. We were right here in the kitchen. It started with a rumble and then it went like this. My fish tank was going like this. And I was saying, oh, okay, God. When your dog starts howling and barking. And then we saw in the news, in the zoo, the elephants made a circle. And their little baby was in the middle. Isn't that something? Even the animals know. But praise God, it was just a little tremor. That's right. Because there's a big one coming. During the tribulation, there's going to be some shaking going on like no other. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 13. I believe that's going to be the, yes, 13. We're going to expound 13 and then we're going to close. Look at this. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Look what it says in 1 Peter. I found this. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Let me just say this. You're going to be tested by fire. How many of you have already been tested by fire? Oh, many of us have been through the fire already. Walking with the Lord. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Isn't that something? We haven't seen Jesus face to face, but yet we love him. We haven't seen our Maker face to face, but it's by faith that saved us. The Holy Ghost that came pouring into our heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. How many remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? Whoo, man. It was unspeakable joy. Corners of my mouth were pinned in my ears like this. I couldn't even wash off that smile if you gave me a warm towel. It was like this. Man, it's hard to explain until you receive it. Amen. Look at the verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Wow. Look at verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Notice it didn't come from no one's religious organization. The Holy Ghost was sent by heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Wow. Wow. Thank you, God. Heaven saved us. God sent the Holy Ghost down. Thank you, Jesus. It came from above. It didn't come from beneath. Can I get an amen? It didn't come from an organization, but it came from above. The believers can overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a great, lively hope now. I hope you know that. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God accomplishes his care for his people, giving them endurance, encouragement, unity, hope, and joy, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And I believe I got another scripture and then we'll close. It's found in Ephesians 3:16. Look at this. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. You notice that? Not the outer man. The outer man is perishing every day. It's the inner man. Hallelujah. Our soul, our mind. Hallelujah. That's what's being strengthened. Thank you, God. Look at this. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. This is why you need to be in a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. Can I get amen? Because you must be grounded by the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Look at that. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many wants the fullness of God? I don't want just a piece of Him. I want all of Him. Thank you, God. Now to Him, look at yourself. That's who He's talking to you, you and I. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask and hope for, according to the power that works in us. In Him, who? Who's Him? Jesus. He's living in us. He's empowering you. You're not empowering yourself. I hope you know that. That's right. It's the Holy Ghost. We're not being powered by batteries that need to be recharged. We're not the energizing bunny. We need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now to Him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Look at this. To Him. Say that with me. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever and forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this Bible study tonight. We thank You, God. There is so much. There's so much richness. There's so much gold nuggets in Your Word. Oh God, it would take beyond a lifetime to comprehend the love You have for us. Thank You that You give us a little portion here on earth that our little feeble minds could comprehend just a portion of it. This is why we need to ask for everything You have for us, God. Because we need You. We need You, God. And I'm praying right now for those who are on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is your opportunity right now. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe you've backslidden and have turned away, and now God is drawing you back. There's hope for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity to ask Him to come into your heart by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's not a coincidence you're watching. It's by faith that you logged in this evening, because God wants to do a mighty work. A mighty work in you. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enjoy this great salvation, this wonderful salvation that You have given to us Gentiles. Thank You, God, for saving wretches like us. So pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.